Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Jaeger CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at JaegerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Jaeger.
Hello, everyone. This is Phil Jaeger, and welcome to my podcast, CPA Review and More. And this is sponsored by my course, Jaeger CPA Review. And, you know, I haven't mentioned that as a sponsor ever. So this is the first time. And don't forget, the exam is changing July 1st. So give us a call at 301-874-4900. That's 301-874-4900, extension 5. You'll get me directly, and I'll tell you why you should take the CPA exam before July 1st. But anyway, today we have a very, very interesting, you know, I scan the globe looking for people that will be interesting, all right? And even though this gentleman is a CPA, he's still interesting. All right, and our guest today is Andrew Hunziger.
Yes, perfect.
And Andrew is a certified public accountant, all right? And he's founder of an organization called DOPE. That's interesting. Does that stand for anything other than DOPE, you know, as we hear it?
Well, it's DOPE CFO. So DOPE CFO is the website, dopecfo.com. And we just kind of came up with that name. DOPE, of course, means weed or cannabis, but it also means cool. And the way we like to say it, like you'd already hinted at, accountants, we're all nerds and introverts, but DOPE CFO, we try to think of ourselves as the cool nerds.
You're the cool nerds. And where are you located, Andrew?
I'm in Oregon, Bend, Oregon. I'm formerly from Oklahoma, so if I have a bad accent, I grew up there, born and raised, and then moved to Oregon in 2010.
Can you sing the state song? No, I'm just kidding.
Oklahoma, I can't.
Oh, I've seen that. Have you seen the movie? You've seen the movie.
Oh, yeah. Right? That's a great, huge hit there.
Anyway, when I was in, I lived in Denver, I told you, for 6 years. And obviously, when I was there, and I, by the way, any place I go, I bring the economy down. So, all right. But right now, the area is booming. And would you say that a lot of it is due to the fact that they legalized cannabis?
Well, Oregon's booming as well. And I know Denver's been, and Boulder area has just been booming for quite a while. So yeah, the cannabis definitely helps. But I think there's other factors as well where people are leaving places like California, Southern California. They're moving northward quickly and probably smart due to climate change and all the rest of it, smog and crowds. And they might run out of water someday over there. So
that's true. That was in fact, I remember at one time there was a moratorium on building in Boulder because you went to University of Colorado.
Yeah.
And it was because of the water. They were concerned about water.
Oh, wow. Right?
But now, the states that legalize it, it's not legal from a federal standpoint. All right. So if I opened up a store in Denver, all right, do I have to worry about the federal government coming in and crashing my business down?
No, at this point, I think even 4 years ago when Trump came in, Jeff Sessions, we all know, hated marijuana and he's going to take the industry down. That didn't happen. As a matter of fact, the last 4 years, well, we had a fully Republican administration, and what happened? Cannabis moved forward 1,000%. And even in our November elections, we had 5 red states legalize cannabis. So at this point, the risk of someone getting in trouble for a state legal, as long as you're doing things legally, you're probably okay if you're complying with the state. If you're a CPA, you're complying with your state accountancy board. Most boards like Colorado or Oregon, et cetera, already have addressed this. But the way I tell it at this point, and you're in Colorado, it's everywhere. So yeah, accountants are serving cannabis, attorneys, CPAs, plumbers, electricians, marketers, Home Depot, you name it. All these non-cannabis companies are serving the industry. And that doesn't even talk about the millions of people like you're talking about, the dispensary owners, the farm owners, the workers in the industry. there's almost nobody that doesn't touch this industry. Lighting companies, equipment companies, they're all coming into software companies, hundreds and hundreds of software companies. So basically, you can pick a company at random in Denver, and more than likely, they're some way serving cannabis. So I don't think the U.S. is going to be able to arrest all of us, even if they wanted to. But that said, the latest Pew poll that just came out, I just saw it a couple of weeks ago, and this gets better and better and better. 9 out of 10 Americans approve of medical cannabis and want it legal. And I say when 9 out of 10 of us agree on anything, it's going to happen.
That's pretty good, yeah.
I think if we had a poll, I tell people, if we had a poll, a national poll, and we said, the question is the sky blue? We wouldn't hit 9 out of 10. We'd probably hit 8 out of 10. Because our country is divided. We like to argue.
Now, how many states is illegal in right now?
I need to update it because just New York and Virginia just went fully rec. So we're almost at 40. And depending on what you mean by legal, it's pretty vague. So for example, most people say Texas cannabis is illegal, but that's actually not true. They have 3 dispensaries there. If they've identified one and only one medical condition you can have in Texas, and that's epilepsy. If you have epilepsy, you can buy pot in Texas, it's legal. But if you have PTSD or anxiety or sleep or pain or the other 85 issues that cannabis has been shown scientifically to treat, you can't get it in Texas.
But yeah, now I'm in Maryland. I don't want to give you the idea. And they do have it. It's for medical. All right.
Yes.
There are dispensaries here. You can get a medical card. All right. But recreationally, they haven't approved it here. And I have spoken with a lot of people. Like you said, it's a great drug. And let me just say, I'm not encouraging people to smoke it and get high, but it's good for arthritis. There's so many good things. And, you know, I don't know if they'll ever, when they'll legalize it in Maryland.
Many states go down this path. We did the same thing in Oregon. We went medically legal, and a year and a half later, it's rec legal. But if we just talk about the medical side, the nice thing that's happened the last 5 or 10 years, and it's ramping up rapidly, finally, the scientists, the universities, the hospitals all over the globe are studying it for literally, you mentioned arthritis, epilepsy, autism, pain, anxiety, sleep. You just go on and on and on where they're proving it's not, our pets are using CBD, et cetera. And so, yeah, it's a massive movement. It's going to keep moving forward, not backwards. What I think is actually going to happen, a very good chance, is what happened to CBD and hemp. If you'll remember 2 years ago, CBD and hemp were the exact same as cannabis. They were illegal. And what happened? It got taken off Schedule 1, and now it's legal everywhere. That there's a very good chance of that happening. Schumer has a bill. There are bills in Congress right this second to take cannabis off Schedule 1. I think it's going to happen. The majority of people, Republican and Democrat, see the writing on the wall, whether it's the medical benefits, it provides jobs, it's recession-proof, it provides tax dollars. It's hard to say there's not a benefit of this industry to all of us.
How do you define cannabis in general? Is that just, is that marijuana? What is cannabis?
That's a good question. So cannabis and hemp are 2 different plants that look identical. You can't tell them differently, but like any plant, you know, a maple tree, I mean, I don't know, a maple tree probably has 300 chemicals in it. Same with a cannabis plant, loads of chemicals in there. Same with a hemp plant. Well, the chemical that gets people high is called THC. And it's got a longer name that I can't pronounce, but cannabis plant also has CBD and CBN and CBG and all these other chemicals. But what a hemp plant has that's mainly different, and actually how they define a hemp plant, it's got loads of chemicals and CBD as well, but it has less than 0.3% THC. So basically, if you cut down your hemp plant and smoke it, you're not going to get high, but maybe you'll get a lot of CBD in there. And CBD is a very popular medicine right now for many, many people, and they're testing it. So, and there's more chemicals now being tested as well, things like CBG and CBN, that we're going to find, if you go out 10 years, they're probably going to have 10 or more chemicals from the plant that'll have some kind of medical use. And as you know, us that are aging, We need lots of, we don't need opiates.
Speak for yourself, sir.
Well, I mean, we don't need the traditional thing. My mom, who's 85, you know, she was treated the last 20 years with going to the doctor and, yeah, here, just take another pill, take a Valium. And so we have a crisis with that. So it's nice to have an alternative as our population really is aging.
Now, let's talk about what you really do. What's your mission here? You're a nationally recognized, you have a nationally recognized accounting and tax program. Is that what you do? Do you train people to do accounting and build up practices in cannabis?
Yeah, so we take people they could be out of Big Four, they could be just starting out, like many people probably listening, getting a CPA exam, and they're like, hey, wow, this is a huge niche. It's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of, we call it a birth of a movement. They want to get involved for good reasons, because it's going to be big, and it's very underserved, which is not true of most good niches. So what we do is we have a program that's kind of four components. One is, yes, training and education, like you think of a course. That's one of four parts. Our second part is actually how we go about finding these clients, how we approach them, how we price it, what we offer them in our, we call it our value chain, our letter. And then once we get the client, the meatiest part of our program is what we call our toolbox. It's over 100 work papers and tools. You can use them on day one. We have many people that come in and say, yeah, I've already got a dispensary client. I need those tools right now, yesterday. And so everything from engagement letter to chart of accounts to PBC list, all the way through financials, there's over 100 work papers ready to go on day one. And that's the key thing people want access to, because they're simply not available anywhere else.
Now, this is a software program developed for cannabis?
It's a toolbox. It's so cannabis, if you have a cannabis client, you're going to be using lots of different software, starting with the accounting system, like any industry. It might be QuickBooks, it might be Xero, it might be Accounting Suite, it might be an ERP. So that's one piece of software we have to deal with as their accountant. Another piece is every state has what's called a seed-to-sale software that's required. So this is unlike any other industry. The state comes in and says, you got to use, and there's only three right now, Metric, MJ, Freeway, and BioTrack. By the way, they're the worst softwares ever created. The reporting is horrible, and we do lots of reconciliations and tie-ups. The purpose of those software is to track a plant from seed all the way through the food chain to the customer, so it doesn't get diverted to the illegal markets. And then we have a third piece of software for dispensaries called the POS system, and that's not going to be QuickBooks, which is used in mainstream America. It's going to be one of 100 POS systems that are tailored to cannabis. Might be GreenBits or FlowUp or Flourish. And so we have to take these different systems and our tools. So most of our tools are in Excel or Word, and we're pulling down, we're doing cost accounting, or we're doing our chart of accounts, or whatever it is, to tie these systems together and reconcile and do our reporting, et cetera. But yes, there's a lot of software involved, but it's not just one piece of software. And that's what makes it a little more complex.
How do you train people to, because this field is different, it's unique. How do you train them so they can go out and start, marketing for clients in this area? And the question is this, are there enough out there for CPAs to make a real good living or a living from doing this type of client?
Yeah, I'll work backwards then on that question. First and foremost, for probably at least a couple more years, there simply is not a better niche where the average mom and pop company is a seven-figure, multi-million-dollar firm. I don't care if it's in my hometown of 80,000 people dispensary, making $7-8 million in sales. There's not a niche that is this underserved by CPAs, period. You could list out the next 1,000 niches, oil and gas, dentistry, what you name it. They're overserved by CPAs, and they will be. Can you make a niche in dentistry? Of course you can. It's going to be hard because they're overserved. This is a once-in-a-lifetime birth of a movement. So, yeah, every year that goes by, there's going to be more people coming in, but we're a long way from that point. If you're young and looking at niches, the way I tell people, I was like, if someone can bring me what the number two niche is, I say cannabis and CBD hemp are probably 20 to 50X. And we'll get there someday. And so what we do is we, on our education side, we want to get people in our program in 90 days, an hour a day, what we call VIP status, valuable expert, instructor, participant in the niche. And the way we're going to do that is with a lot of reading and links and tell them what to sign up to get the email in their box every day. And when you pick any niche, you want to be more than just, you want to know more, this is how you provide value to your clients, than just accounting. Yes, you've got to have gap accounting down cold, cost accounting, tax, court cases. But then you need to know, what's the software in the niche? What's the insurance issues? What are the issues specific to cannabis, banking, et cetera? What are the politics? What are the key brands? How are products made? When you know all this stuff, you'll provide tons of value to your clients. They'll pay you more, and you'll have lower stress practice because you're doing the same for all clients. So it's very, very great time to get in. So our program gets you through that. But even if you get a client, say on day four, that's fine because our toolbox has instructions each step of the way. So if you get a client, you're going to go into the onboarding folder. That's folder one in client service. What's in the onboarding folder? Engagement letter, internal controls documents, chart of accounts, PBC list. We're going to get you up and running. It's like, here's what you do. Step one, two, and three. Then we go to day-to-day, then cleanup, then month-end, then reporting. But it's a pretty unique program what we've got, but it can get you up there, up to speed very, very quickly in this space.
How long is the program again?
Again, the program, only one part of it has a time, which is part one of four, and that's the education. And that you can do in 90 days, an hour a day, but parts two, three, and four are accessible on day one, and they're accessible 5 years from now. There's no time component.
After I take all these parts, am I ready to go out and start my own practice?
Yes, you can go, and even you can start on day one. So part two is finding a client. I tell people on day one, go reach out to these people. If someone comes into our program, we are greatly increasing the likelihood that that client's going to be served better. The truth of the matter is right now today, there's about 100 and 120,000 cannabis or CBD companies out there in the U.S., my guesstimate is probably more than 9 of 10 from what I've seen and the people in our program is they're not only doing cost accounting wrong, which is required in this niche, they're not doing it at all because they don't know how to do it. The CPAs aren't there. Bookkeepers are out there doing their best, but they don't have the knowledge, the training, or the toolbox to do cost accounting. And people ask me, well, why is cannabis any different from any other niche? Well, first and foremost, it's several niches. It's farming, it's chemical processing, it's product manufacture, it's distribution, it's labs, and it's retail. Many times, all of those verticals in one company. And so if you don't have your ducks in a row and your toolbox, you're going to be doing accounting wrong. So if someone comes into our program and even gets a client a weekend, they're going to probably massively improve the accounting and tax for that client, which is very important. Even if they're not an expert yet, they're going to be way above whatever they're doing now.
How would I market for clients? I mean, I'm just, you know, I would know how to market, but yeah. Normal. I don't want to use the word normal. That's unfair. Yeah. For you know, a more common type of service. All right.
Marketing's a boy, is that a hot topic in this industry? And I talk to anywhere from 20 to 40 bookkeepers and accountants on the phone every week, and I have for the last 4 years. And oftentimes the first words out of their mouth, Andrew, I hate marketing. I hate sales. I'm an introvert. I want to just stay in my room and do bookkeeping. How can I find clients? And whether this is totally unrelated to cannabis or anything, yeah, it's tough. And there are many, many marketing programs out there. One of the very best pieces of advice, I actually paid a guy a lot of money in 2013 to give me marketing tips. And I tell people I paid $7,000. And I say the only thing I learned from this guy, who was greatly my junior in accounting and CFO level, and it was worth every penny, he said, Andrew, you should pick a niche and become an expert. And that was worth every penny of $7,000, because back in the day, and really for decades, we've all been, we're accountants, whether we're Price Waterhouse or Joe Smith solo accountant, we serve everybody and we brag about it. But someone figured out along the way, picking a niche is the best thing, because if you do that right, if you become an expert in a national niche, marketing at the end, if you can project out 3, 4, 5 years, your marketing will go away forever. You won't ever find need to worry. And I'm at that point now in cannabis. People approach me every single week and I funnel them out into our program, but I wouldn't have to market because they just come to me. They find me. And so, but the way I would do it, if I was brand new and I was going into doctors or whatever, from doing, and I've learned, I think, from the School of Hard Knocks, I've done everything wrong in client service. And so what I teach now is pretty much the opposite of what I used to do. And so we call it the alpha role. We're very assertive. I want it to be, since we generally don't like marketing, we don't like sales. So how do I get rid of that? I want my system to be automated. I want it to be high ROI. I don't want to waste a ton of my time. I really want to minimize my time with any one prospect because most of them aren't going to be a client. And so our system is four parts: find an owner, email the owner. If that email somehow entices that owner to book a call on my calendar, I don't do anything because my book a call button's right there in my calendar. I'll do a short call where I ask questions and then we'll send a proposal. And so it's very little time actually with the interaction in this niche, finding the owner and in many niches. You can use paid methods, whether it's a sales team or paid ads or whatever. And I don't know about you, I've never had to use a paid method ever in 25 years to find a client. There's just so many other easier ways you can, whether it's getting involved with events or digital groups on meetups or LinkedIn or Clubhouse even. Clubhouse is a new app and I've got people that are getting clients left and right off Clubhouse. Instagram groups. I go on and on and on about how to find the owner. We make a contact with them. We email them around their pain points because we know them. Their pain points in cannabis are taxation, cash, software. We know their headaches. They hop on a call with us. This is where people tell me they love my marketing system. We don't let them, we don't pretend we're an employee being interviewed by like for a job because we're not an employee, we're a business owner. And so what we say is, we take the call. We do not let the CEO hijack it. And if they try to, we will say, good day. We say, we will ask the questions. Think like your doctor visit when you go to the doctor. We're going to ask the questions. We're going to find out about your business. Super easy questions. How big you are, what verticals, where you're located, et cetera. And then we're going to say, great. We're going to send you a proposal of how we work, the value we add, how we price it. If that sounds good, we'll move to the next step, which is going to be engagement letter and retainer. So we don't waste time. We don't let them grill us on our resume and all that stuff. We don't do free work. We don't do 3 or 4 calls. We don't do follow-up. We don't go see them in person. We don't do any of that. And our offer letter backs that call up with super assertive. It's like, here we are. We're the Mercedes-Benz of a cannabis accounting. We do this, this, and this. It provides value. We charge you an arm and a leg for it. You'll never see us in person. Take it or leave it. And it works great. It's kind of my long spiel.
That's very good. Sign me. No. Anyway, sign me up.
Thank you so much for listening to Jaeger CPA Review and More. As a token for our appreciation for your listenership, we'd like to offer you 10% off your next purchase with Jaeger CPA Review. Save between $50 to $150 with code PODCAST10. If you'd like more information, look us up on JaegerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.